Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is
April 25th, 2019.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course,
620-878-4682, 620-878-4682, and in an emergency, text the cell phone at 316-619-4886, and that's because of so many, you know, telemarketing calls, so just text him, and he'll get right back with you.
You know, and the app that I've got in there right now, I think it was today or yesterday, either one, but on an average, in the morning time before noon, they have deleted or did whatever with like 14 spam calls.
Yeah, I believe it. I delete 30 a day off of my phone.
30 a day?
At least, yeah, because I got to clear my phone.
Right.
Burns up my phone with their phone, and I answer it so many times, they lose my number, it don't do any good. I'm going to start take somebody's advice and start answering it. Marion County Crime Division, what can I do for you?
Well, part of that doesn't do any good because just for the mere fact that a lot of it, the first part of the call is a robot.
Right.
Until you respond in the first, so it doesn't do anything. That's why I think tonight I'm going to download the robot monster that attacks them because I'm sick of it.
What irritates me is when I call back a number that just called me and I call it right back and says, this number is no longer in service. Really? Then how did they just call me?
Because the number didn't exist in the first place. That is an electronic thing that they fake and put forward to make you think that it's even coming a local number, and most of those are local. Anyway, moving right along, people can find updates with the breaking news of Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all of our ministry hub, which is very simply
prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Yeah. Okay. Now, oops. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program. It says simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube and on some FM station. Pray about supporting airtime. Airtime will come due in about five or six days.
Next Wednesday is the first.
Okay. And I still owe $50, not from this month, but from the month before. Anyway, on another note,
we want to thank our listener base that is worldwide, and we'll start with Sydney, NSW.
You don't need to do the NSW.
Okay. Australia. Adamamam, Saudi Arabia.
Adamamam, I don't know. It's Adamamam.
Adamamam. Adamamam.
But people in Saudi Arabia listen to us. That's
they know they how to pronounce
head.
It.
Yeah, they get their heads cut off over there for all kinds of strange things.
Casablanca, anyway. Morocco.
That's Casablanca.
You say tomato, I say tomato. Okay.
Well, one of the most famous movies that ever was is called Casablanca. Who starred in it?
Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro. I wouldn't even mention his name on the air. He's such a Trump hater. I wouldn't even have put that up there if it was Robert De Niro. But no, it is
Clint Eastwood.
Are you going to keep just guessing?
Okay, give me the answer.
Take up all the airtime.
Who is it?
Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey, okay, gotcha.
And he had one of the most beautiful wives that there ever was.
I believe it.
Okay.
Vilnius?
Vilnius, Lithuania.
Wow. Where is that located?
Well, it's over there in part of Africa. I'll show it to you later. But
okay.
The reason I put that one up there for sure, because we had a couple of downloads from over there, and it was the first time that I've ever noticed them. And
cool.
So even these people in these crazy, I don't know the country's crazy. I don't really know that much about the country, but.
Okay, and then we have the good old U.S., like Los Angeles, California, Nashville, Tennessee, Cleveland, Ohio, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and Wichita still remains the largest group of listeners when the podcast later tonight.
Yeah, amen. Why are you putting your hand up?
Because later tonight.
Oh, okay, well, they can't see you. Thank goodness for that. And I do have expectations towards that. I still have never got all the equipment that I need. And, you know, just like last night, we found out that some of our equipment's still faulty. We have a splitter that works for our headphones, and either the splitter or my headphone cord is going out. So while it doesn't affect just me and you talking, it affects us hearing other people.
Right.
And so we have a new board. But, you know, it goes back with that. You know, we need everything replaced. And it's also embarrassing. That's why I haven't went out on a limb and got a bunch of new guests that don't know me, because, you know, when you have those kind of glitches and everything during a radio program, then, you know, that makes the people think that you're unprofessional.
Just the quality. Yeah,
and it's quality, quality, quality. And I need to up our quality in order to, before I start making a real push to get a bunch of new guests on, which is something that I need really bad. So, folks, I'm also telling you right now, if you have people that you want us to have on the air or you think it'd be a good guest, send me their website. Or name of the book, something. And why'd you turn that on?
Just go on.
Okay. Anyway, moving right along. If you heard some noise,
that was the printer.
That was my wife turning on the printer that she doesn't need to print on, turn on for a while. But anyway, let's move on. Anyway, and especially you folks over there in Wichita, I know a lot of you are some of the very people that we minister to, especially the brother across the street. Don't mention names, but. That lives across the street. He has been listening to the program. So shout out to you. Hey, you've been a good friend. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. All right, now prayer. We'll start. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, our prayer either night goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. Give us what you wanted us to pass on to the folks. And just bless us all, Father, because everything is just so hard. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, we can probably start eliminating the welcome. Tell them hello, Linda.
Shalom.
They know who you are.
Right.
I have Linda, my wife, on with me. Anyway, before we get into anything heavy, first I want to talk a little bit about what's coming out in a couple of weeks for... I found that there's a guy by the name of Genovia, and he's a commentator. He's a political commentator and things. He's a pretty smart guy. And he was on Fox News, and I just noticed it today. But it just came, I don't know where it came out, yesterday or today, but I'll just read it, and then we'll get into it a little bit. So it says, DeGenova on Fox News told a panel that a solo report on James Comey is coming out in 2 weeks. He says the report will contain criminal referrals. And so here's some of the criminal referrals we need. Now we're talking right. about over Trump and all of the things. Okay. He also said the only hero in all of the cabal is Admiral Mike Rogers, who not only slipped into Trump Tower after the election and told Trump the truth. Now that's how Trump found out they were spying on him. Was through this guy. He told Trump the truth, but he also went to the FISA court and told him who the culprits were and to stop the madness. Now, according to him, the FISA court has already turned the information over to Attorney General Bill Barr. So, you know, what we're seeing is, it's like we said all along, there has been about prosecution. Well, yeah, it looked like everybody got away with everything. The reason everybody got away with everything with this coup is because there wasn't anybody in place that would prosecute.
Right.
And, you know, and Jeff Sessions, that guy is nothing but a joke. That's why we didn't get no reaction in 2 years when we really needed it. We would have had somebody like Barr in there during the first 2 years of Trump's presidency. We would already see people locked up. This would have already been stopped a long time ago. But the problem was Jeff Sessions would not put anybody in there to do it. In fact, he would come to find out he didn't like Trump anyway.
Right.
He shouldn't even been in there.
Okay, the other guy that we just posted, is he just in the back, is he in behind the scenes, the other guy that has all the...
I'm going to tell you about
okay,
him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. So he also goes on to say, this stuff is pretty simple for career prosecutors like Rudy, meaning Rudy Giuliani, and Genova is also a prosecutor. That's what he was. And myself. It has been evident since day one that there's been a brazen plot to exonerate Hillary Clinton illegally, even if it, and then if she lost the election to frame Donald Trump. Now, we know now as a fact, or we have testimony from different people, the girl, I can't think of her name, but we also have testimony from her that directly says that the Obama Attorney General's office, which meant Loretta Lynch, the woman that met with Clinton, ordered the FBI to stand down and nobody to charge her and to come up with a collusion that not to charge Hillary. That's
right.
Illegal. It's not their job. Anyway. The problem for Brennan and Clapper, now that we're talking about Brennan and Clapper, CIA, the problem for Brennan and Clapper and Comey, so you got CIA and you have FBI and Baker, all is now that the FISA court has communicated with the Justice Department about its findings. Their findings are that for more than 4 years before the election of Donald Trump, there was an illegal spying operation going on by FBI contractors for them to steal information on Americans and to use it against the Republican Party. So we've uncovered something else. Now I'm going to maybe bring this up with Carl Gallup's later because he posted something. Carl Gallup's was in on the, Pastor Carl was in on the investigation by Sheriff Joe Arpaio on the Obama birth certificate. And they've been talking about a lot of this, and so I'm going to bring this up with him today because he pointed out. Now, you remember, this is really important. You know, the NSA, that's the National Security Agency. You know how everybody always jokes, but it's not a joke that all your phone calls are recorded?
Yeah, they are, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're not, but I'm saying, you know, we joke about it, but yeah, you're right. They absolutely are. Well, the people in the NSA right now are saying, well, okay, do you know why they're able to record everybody? Do you understand what the law is? Just say no.
No, I don't really know.
Okay, well, I'll explain it to you then. The deal is they got that permission to do it, to record everybody, in case somebody turned out to be contacting foreign terrorists,
right.
And then they could just immediately look up the recorded phone call. They weren't supposed to be for any other usage other than that. Clearly, we know that that's been abused. Okay. Well, now, with all this heat going on and all these, I think that what's going on is the NSA is going to be put under a spotlight, too, for giving information on this thing here where it's talking about the illegal spying operation going on with FBI contractors. Okay. So why do I believe that? Because the NSA has just came out and said they want to stop the recording of all Americans. They want to stop that recording. Even though they built a huge new facility that could record everybody for the next ever, they want to stop the program. That's because they're fixing to get heat on them.
Right.
And so it's now, that request is now in front of Donald Trump. And we'll see.
Yeah, they're fixing to be revealed, so they don't want to be caught doing it red-handed.
Right, they want to say we already quit.
Yeah.
You know? And then that way, by quitting a program, see, then that would allow them to be able to delete a lot of things. And,
yeah.
And those guys are experts on deleting things without any trace. Anyway, there's going to be, he goes on to say, there's going to be indictments. There's going to be grand juries. John Brennan is, he says, John Brennan, now that's those guys, we're talking CIA guys, he said, John Brennan is not going to need one lawyer, he's going to need five lawyers. He said it was not enough, and then he went on to say the Horowitz report. Now this is who you're talking about. Horowitz is the guy in Utah that's been, he's the inspector general.
Yeah.
That's been doing a report and is first, but sometime in May or early June. Okay. And now there's he says, don't forget, that there's another report that some people have forgotten about, and that is just about James Comey himself. So while we've got several reports coming from the FISA court about this and that, there's a whole couple of separate investigations going on with James Comey, which was the ex-director of the FBI that everybody I know is how he is. Anyway, he goes on to say that report is going to be a bombshell. It's going to open up the investigation on a very high note, and there are going to be criminal referrals in it. So it's about time.
So I got a question. Is a referral like an indictment, or is it just referring them to indict? They're just suggesting that they shouldn't.
Okay, what they do is and this is even the job of the FBI. When Comey came out and said nobody would charge Hillary Clinton, blah, 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 that's not his job to decide that. What is his job to say, is there enough evidence that this person has broken a law and that you can go to court with it and that they should be indicted? That's a referral.
Okay.
They say, okay, or they might say, well, we investigated like they did with Hillary. That's what they said with Hillary. They said, well, nobody would charge it, so therefore you don't need to do it. It's not publicly their job. Their job is to give a referral as to the evidence. Now, but coming from the inspector general is a different story. Well, it's very hard if the inspector general says charge him, and they don't charge them, even though it's still up to the attorney general's office not to do it, because it would be like if Mueller, because he's a special prosecutor or whatever, special counsel, his referral, if he would have said to the Republican, if he would have said to the Republicans in the first 2 years, who was in control of everything, said charge Trump, and they said no, a bombshell would have went off. That would have been, it just wouldn't work. They would have had to, there's no way escaping they would have had to charge. So for an attorney general to turn down the inspector general, it would be a very tough call. So basically, it's almost written in stone. If he sends them something, then it's going to be charged.
All right.
So, but we know that Barr, though, we know that Barr is a willing participant. He is a good guy, for everything that we've been seeing. And that's why they're all running scared. And so we're going to see some dramatic things in the next couple of months. And do you think that's about time?
Yeah, I think he's the one that said no one's above the law. They haven't got away with anything yet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did, he's quite a guy. I mean, we'll just have to see, but that goes back to the Obama administration. Everybody wonders why they say, the other day I heard from a guy Dave at the pool, and he was acting like the Obama birth certificate information about how it has actually been proven without a shadow of a doubt, what they put online is bogus.
All right.
They have absolutely all the information. They know who did it. They know everything. Why didn't anybody do anything about it? The reason nobody did anything about it, because there was nobody to prosecute.
Same thing goes back to his biological grandmother came on national TV and told everybody he was born in Kenya. I was there. He was born in Kenya. Why didn't anybody believe her? She was the biological grandmother. Why would she have any reason to lie about it?
Obama had birth certificate thing. Look, I deal with people that write books, and they give you bios, short biographies of themselves. Obama's bio on a book that he was pushing and everything about himself said that he was from Kenya.
I know,
for
I've seen that.
Years, it did not get changed until just right, and so it had been out for years. It didn't get changed until I ran for president. Also, there's more than one video where he's had, you know, what we call a slip of the tongue speech, right. You know, truth comes out when you're just talking. And he said, you know, he's like, I just seen one the other day. It says, I'm the first American president from Kenya.
Ah!
You know, and so there's enough evidence there, but it goes back to that. If you don't have somebody to prosecute the crime, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
You have to have somebody willing to prosecute the crime. A good thing is like Smollett, you know, the guy that got off with the prosecutor dropped the things when he faked the hate crime and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And let him go. Well, that's a perfect example. Even though all the evidence was there, they did all the investigations, they had everything they needed. Well, he wasn't prosecuted because why? He didn't have a prosecutor willing to do it. And so that's what it all boils down to. So folks, if you think local elections aren't important, you're crazy, because local elections put in who's in charge of prosecuting. And you know that in local court, they got the same thing going on. They got a prosecutor. If the prosecutor doesn't want to prosecute, they don't prosecute. Or they twist things. So you've got to be careful in who you elect, no
right.
matter whether it's local election, national election. Every election matters. Every vote counts, and we're seeing that over and over.
Boy, we just learned that lesson in Florence this last election.
Okay, well, remember, we don't talk about our own city much.
Right.
And so let's just leave that off the table. So, all right, folks, we're getting ready to take a break. Where can they find out about us?
Everything's over there at prophecyhour.com.
All right, folks. We'll be back in about, I guess it's
four minutes and 10 seconds. I think I got that right.
I thought it was 20. Okay.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Only you, only you, only you, Lord, we will trust. Through the storm, keep us warm, till the enemy is crushed. Jesus is our refuge, in Him we must abide, till He opens heaven's gate, brings His bride inside. All our cares that we bear, we must give them all to You. Hold our hand in this land that is crumbling through and through. Jesus is our refuge, in Him we must abide, till He opens heaven's gate and brings His bride inside. I'll not fear all that's here, I will put my faith in You. Even though we must go through the testing, keep us true. Jesus is our refuge, in Him we must abide, till He opens. Brings His bride inside. Yes, until He opens heaven's gates, brings His bride inside.
About 800 years before the birth of Messiah, the prophet Micah foretold His birth in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto Me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Every year, thousands of Christian pilgrims make their way to Bethlehem to visit the city in which the Messiah was born. Although unaware, most of them are taken into a subterranean cave where the pagan sun god Tammuz was worshipped, and are told that this is the place where Jesus was born. Tammuz was the Akkadian sun god, also known as Adonis by the Greeks. In mythology, he was known to be the husband of Ishtar, from which we derive the name Easter. His birthday was known to be at the time of the winter solstice, or December 25th. Jerome, the Latin Bible translator, whose school was located adjacent to the cave, informs us of the worship of Tammuz on this spot. Quote, "Even my own Bethlehem, as it now is that most venerable spot in the whole world, of which the psalmist sings, 'The truth has sprung out of the earth,' was overshadowed by a grove of Tammuz, that is, of Adonis. And in the very cave where the infant Christ had uttered his earliest cry, lamentation was made for the paramour of Venus." End quote. Just one more example of the pagan influences upon modern-day Christianity. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. Or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network, and we're back. Say we're back. Say hello.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back in the Flint Hills on American Voice Radio Network. Live.
Live. Yeah.
Pastor Dan and Sister Linda.
Yeah. Well, we weren't almost live. You weren't just about here. Anyway, yeah, she got silent on that. Anyway.
I'm always at the last minute, sweetie.
Yeah.
Okay. How many years you've been with me? You know that by
okay.
now.
Okay. Anyway, we got lots to talk about. Anyway, what day is it counting the Omar?
It is day 4, but you're not supposed to say that till you count it. So.
Well, I'm counting it.
Well, you can't count it till dark.
It'll be day 5 at dark. Well, mm-hmm. But you counted 4 at dark last night.
Yeah, you counted at dark.
So you can say that today because you did count it last night.
Okay.
So you can say that now.
Well, you're only supposed to say it when you count it.
Because
you're only supposed to say it when you count it. You're not supposed to repeat it. You're only supposed to say it once the day you count it after you say the blessing.
Right, and you're not supposed to sit back and relax in the chair. You're supposed to be talking to this thing. Anyway, so yeah, counting over. Well, what's that mean? What's that about?
It means you're counting the days to Pentecost, days of atonement.
You were counting down to Pentecost is what we're doing. Right, amen. So that's how many days until Pentecost?
It's 50.
50 days and then the Sabbath after. Anyway, so, yeah, we're headed to Pentecost, and we should count these things and reflect on them. Anyway, what day are we in the Feast of Unleavened Bread?
5.
We're on the 5th day.
It ends Saturday at dark. I just told the boys I'd make them a 5-pound five-pound cheese pizza, but I was kidding, but they're all in for it. But I'm not going to make a 5-pound cheese pizza. I was kidding because they haven't had. Okay, let me specify that. The shredded cheese that I buy has leaven in it, so we don't use it. I use block cheese. But I'm ready to use the leaven, the shredded cheese that's already shredded. So I told them, at dark Saturday, I'll make you a cheese pizza, 5 pounds of shredded cheese. And they're like, all right, yay, I'm ready. I'll eat it.
I don't like that much cheese. Anyway, all right. So,
we
haven't been eating leaven. So how did the lamb go?
It was delicious. I couldn't believe it. It was really good. We roasted it on the grill out back by the tent we put up for the Passover, and they just ate it. It seemed like, man, we ate half of that lamb.
Yeah, there's not a lot left. I mean,
we didn't have any left to burn in the fire. It was all a matter of fact. The boys was eating off the same leg bone. They kept passing it back and forth, and they took it all last one off the grill.
Yeah, I know. Well, I even got a picture of Bubba doing that, and that's my son Joshua, but our son Joshua. All our children are our children, you know, that all came from you.
When we say my, we mean we, but we always say my when we mean we, but we know it's we because we're one, so.
Now they're completely confused. Anyway, so we have some things to get ready for Passover next year, so I just want to thank, we weren't on air last week because we, just right before Passover, what happened?
We had to do a funeral for a loved one here.
In Florence.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we normally don't, you know, most of our ministering is all done in Wichita, Kansas, and so, I had married these people, and so we did it, and it was a very emotional thing, and while it's funny because a lot of the people that showed up for that funeral were not much of the older generation, a generation of people, but, you know, a younger generation. You know,
it was all there. The lady that we did the funeral for, her children grew up with our children. Matter of fact, her daughter used to babysit my two oldest children before we had our last two children. And all of them kids have grown up and had kids. And it was just, I was like, wow, made me feel old.
Well, but here's what I want to say to move on, because not everybody wants to hear about our personal life, I'm sure. But here is the big deal: is you know, we've always been outcast here in this city.
Yeah.
We never assimilated to this community because you know they didn't like us. Well, they don't understand about what being Mesianic is. Most of the time, they just were them Jews down the street.
Because we don't, yeah,
yeah,
we, do the
we don't need to get into
yeah.
fine details. But it was like that. But that generation of people, their children and so on and so forth, they all accepted us widely,
right.
You know, and it really made, well, it was a funeral. To me, it was a good day. We went and had a picnic with them afterwards, and it was really good because they really actually, for probably one of the first times ever, I felt actually that I'm accepted in by the people. Here in this
right.
small town. And it just shows to go, you know, that I think people have that problem unless you go to you move to a small town. If you don't go to the local church, one of the local churches or something like that, there's just no way to really get assimilated in, and you are considered an outsider.
Right.
Even though we've been here for 28 years or something like that.
Well, Daniel will be 30 and he was 2 when we moved here, so 28 years.
28 years. So anyway, but folks, I still strongly recommend for the times that we're in, you'll have a safer life if you move out of the big cities and move to smaller towns. And believe me, property values in most, and I'm talking about small towns, is a lot cheaper. But anyway, moving right along. So,
and if you live in a sanctuary city, I'd move because I think Trump's going to ship all the illegals to the sanctuary cities.
Well, you just don't know, and like I told you before, and like everybody else said, you don't know if he's just messing with you or not.
Yeah.
You know, to get a reaction. You know, he won because he got them to come forward and say the sanctuary city mayors and everything. There was a couple of mayors that said, go ahead and send them, but most said, do not send them to our communities. So if their communities are supposed to be so much safer for protecting illegal aliens, why don't they want the other illegal aliens shipped to their communities? And he got them to say that, and that can be used for political speech during the
presidential
election.
And I think right after that, if I remember correctly, he got the court said that he could send all the ones that were applying for asylum back to Mexico while they wait.
Well, now that's another thing entirely. A judge has blocked that, and it's being fought back and forth. That's what he wanted to do, is if you come in and you apply for asylum while you wait, then you could be put back in Mexico until the decision was made. That's being fought over right now in court. While you have people applying for asylum, but you also have just people that are illegal
right.
that aren't applying for asylum, and they're still having to release those people too. And so the law should be like it used a long time ago. If you caught somebody illegally coming into your country, like every other country in the world, that if they don't put you in jail, they put you right back across the border. Well, America doesn't have that with that option if they say I'm applying for asylum.
Well, the way I remember it was when I was at Days Inn, they told that because there was a lot of illegal maids that worked there that were illegal. They all use the same security card, but anyway, they was saying that if they got caught, they would do 6 months in jail and then be deported.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if the same illegal, that same person that got caught said, okay, but I want to apply for asylum, that changes everything. They have to, they are given a court date. And then, because they've got no place to hold them until the court date, then they just release them into the country, and most never show up for court. And so, yeah, it needs to be fixed. But anyway, I see a lot of things coming and changing. I'm still going back with this, folks, is that you need to really, really get out and vote and support your president and support this country in prayer, because there is no other place left like America.
America.
If the evilness, if all that evil out there completely takes over America, you ain't got any place else to go to. You don't
stand with God, stand with what's right, stand with America, and everything should be fine.
Okay. Have you ever, guess what? There's another sexual orientation.
Oh, my goodness. Really, there's two, male and female. God said it, and I believe
in them. Okay, but this is a new one on me.
Oh, my. Do I want to hear this?
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway. It's called exosexual exosexual.
Exosexual, that means something to do with the earth. I bless. Okay, I'm guessing. Let's hear it.
Okay. This is a person that finds nature romantic, sensual, and sexy. A new sexual identity. It's a person who imagines the earth as their lover.
I knew it.
A term used in dating that describes a person in environmentalism, and they are mental, environmentalism, yeah, and an environmental activist strategy, and a new, anyway.
You know what it reminds me of? The tree lovers, the ones that go out and love the trees.
Same kind of thing, but this goes quite.
Oh, my goodness.
This goes further. Let me see if I can find it, but anyway. But it's put out now. This new field of research and things are being promoted by a couple of people that are forerunners, and one is Annie Sprinkle. Annie Sprinkle is an American sex educator, a former sex worker, feminist stripper, pornographic actress, cable television host, porn magazine editor, writer, sex film producer, and self-positive feminist. Now, that's just craziness, but I got it right over here. I want to give you a little more of what they believe.
Oh,
it says this. I looked it up. This is from Vice magazine or Vice.com. If you want to go look it up, folks, it says, if you happen to find yourself in Sydney, you're talking about Sydney, Australia, you have the unique opportunity to have sex with the earth. You just need to stop by the Exosexual Bathhouse, which is currently part of the Sydney Life Works Festival Experimental Art. The bathhouse is an interactive installment created by actresses, and we won't go into who they are, but it's a no-holds-barred thing. Now, you can go there. Okay, here's what it says. Now, a facility member at the School of Community Health Sciences involved in this movement says that, on one end, it encompasses people who try to use sustainable sex products or enjoy skinny dipping or naked hiking. Okay, well, that's kind of like one thing. But on the other are people who roll around in the dirt having an orgasm, covered in potting soil. And there are people who have intercourse with trees or
masturbate under a waterfall. Oh my goodness.
I didn't even want to say that. But so they're out there having sex with the earth. They think it's good. I read some more about this. They really believe in making love to the earth. See, then they're going to, but this is nothing new. This stuff's happened before. This stuff has been happening. It's, you go back, you said tree lovers. The Bible talks over and over and over how not to plant groves near his holy places and everything, because people worship trees. They worship the environment all along. There's been, people have been sacrificed to Mother Earth. This is something that's been going on forever. It's Samson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what it's all about. Speaking of which, the Church of Satan just was granted 501c status as a church, and so they are also tax deductible. But and there are people flocking to it because it's really turned, the Satanistic movement has turned into an anti-Trump movement, and so you see how all of these evil things are siding together, and mm-hmm. so now this is another sexual orientation. So, you know, what they're saying is anything's okay.
Yeah, that goes back to the, if it feels good, do it.
Right, right. And why are we, why don't people understand their Bibles anymore?
Well, because they can't understand their Bible if they don't read their Bible.
Well, what about isn't there a problem with Bibles omitting words?
And most of the new, because they can't understand the King James Version is what I always get, is too hard to understand. So they get a newer version that's easier to understand. The reason it's easier to understand because all the basic principles are taken out of it. And so it twists and turns everything into a complete new meaning so they can understand it.
Well, That's what they say, but it's actually diminishing the Bible in a great way. What they claim, what some people or some of the writers claim as their motivation is yet to be seen, so to speak. But let's give you this. Now, we use the King James Bible. And by the way, folks, we were on Omega Man last night, and when you hear this program on podcast or if you listen live, go over and check out in our archives, because we did a whole program about Bibles last night over there on Omega Man. But I'm just going to give you this one little short thing out of it. The King, this is why we always ask for King James Bibles, folks. And you really need, if you're using another Bible than a King James Version, bless you. But I'm telling you, you need to go listen to that program and do some research for yourself. Now, we use King James Bible, and that's not New King James Bible, because the New King James Bible, just as a short example, does what, Mother?
It omits key Christian words. And Lord is omitted 66 times. God is omitted 51 times. Heaven is omitted 50 times. Repent 44 times. Blood 23 times. Hail 22 times. Jehovah is entirely omitted. New Testament is entirely omitted. Damnation's entirely omitted, and devil's is entirely omitted.
Right. And so here's the deal. There, and let alone we go on to say, instead of just saying things like saying Jesus Christ, while we use Yeshua, you know, HaMashiach, every time I see the word Jesus, I don't relate to it as Jesus. I just automatically go Yeshua.
Right.
But here's the point. But they omit, they'll say Jesus, but freely, but they take Christ out of it. They don't say Jesus Christ. Christ is the identifier. That's like a first and a last name. Right. You know, because it's just like I say Linda. Well, there could be lots of Linda, especially if you know two or three. And sometimes, you know, you say, well, which Linda? You know,
right.
What Linda are you talking about? But you say, well, Linda Catlin.
Then
I know who we're talking about. Oh, Linda Catlin. I know who we're talking about. So then it's an identifier. Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Christ is the identifier as the anointed one, as the Messiah, as our Savior. That identifies it. When you take that out, part of his name, you're diminishing who he is.
Right.
And they do it in much stronger ways than that, like we saw last night. One talks about, you know, the scriptures where it talks about the disciples want to know how the demons is cast out. Why couldn't they cast it out? Well, the NIV takes out the part that says by prayer and fasting.
Right.
You know, that this kind comes out by much prayer and fasting. It took that completely out. So what does it do? It leaves a Christian, or, you know, a believer defenseless, because, you know, unless somebody told them that and they're just reading their Bible, they're not going to get it.
Right.
You know, they're not going to get, there might be a footnote, a little tiny footnote off to the side where they've made changes, but most people don't read footnotes and, you know, read, or they go, oh, okay, well, you made it, you changed it, it must be right. And so they go on. That's why people, part of the reason that Christians are falling away from the Word, because they're taking away the Word, which it said the devil would try and take away the Word, and he does try and take away the Word. You know, it's just like the parable of the seed. You know how the devil comes in and takes out things, and he takes out the seed. Well, this is what we're talking about. So you need to go over there and you need to listen to that radio program. And folks, I encourage you strongly to please, please, please share our radio programs with other people. Because a lot of you say, well, I'd like to help, but I don't have any money. Expanding our audience will bring in more donations and support for the Wichita Mission Church. You know, which, by the way, what's coming up in June, Mother?
We'll begin our 20th year.
Our 20th year. And you know what? And this is the first time I've said it out loud, and I might have mentioned it to you at some point during the year, but I felt like when we start our 20th year, I really wanted to have a real big cookout thing for all the homeless there in Wichita, all our supporters. But in order to do that, that cost a lot of money, you know, because you got to.
Well, maybe I'll start planning something. I'll make up some flyers and see if I can get. Hey, guess what? I got something on my Facebook that says if I can get everybody to send me $1, when I get a million, I'll send you my booklet on how to become a millionaire.
Okay, moving right along. Yeah, I saw that. Of course, if y'all, it's by putting a, yeah, I get it.
Just $1, people. Just send me $1.
Right, but it also goes to the fact that there are so many people that, let's go with that. And most of those things never work because not everybody will do it.
Right.
It's just like now, if all of everybody that listened to us, or even half of the people that listened to us, or I'd say even a third of the people listened to us, send a $100 donation, we could take care of our finances for the next year.
Right.
You know, or maybe even more, because I absolutely, well, I can tell how many people download radio programs or just do plays through our podcast site. There's a whole bunch of other sites that pick up our radio broadcast and that rebroadcast them. They're called podcasters that are out all over the internet.
Well, I know before the economy crashed, we did a whole lot more than we do now. We had a whole lot more finances. Somebody'd come say they needed a pair of shoes, we'd go down and buy them a new pair of shoes.
I was buying at least 3 to 5.
There was so much more we did but we don't have the finances to do all that now. It's when we need somebody comes and we don't have it, you put out a update on the internet while we're there, and lots of times somebody's. But that's the only way we do it. We used to just have that availability to do it when it was there, and we was able to stock the church,
right?
So we wouldn't have to make all the errands. But nowadays we have to make the errands when we go, because we're barely got gas to go a lot of times when we go.
Right, but we faithfully still go because this is what we was called to do, and yeah. The need is still there. The people are great, and they, you know, it's needed. We're supposed to be there. I was kept up all night to do it. There was countless things that we could go on. Maybe next week or something we'll do a program and just talk about our origin again to people, because, you know, we do get new listeners all the time. But the point is that, yeah, somebody would come in and they need a pair of shoes. I'd go buy, I'd sometimes 3 to 5 pairs of shoes.
In one day, right.
In one day. And I'd go to Walmart and buy them. And, you know, I think the shoes at that point at Walmart were around $12 or something for a pair of shoes.
We've helped with work clothes when they didn't have work clothes. We'd go down to Walmart and get them work clothes and shoes, work boots, and we just don't have the finances to do that anymore.
Right, and like I say, right now we barely have the finances. Like this, you know, radio never used to be a problem paying radio, and now, you know, I'm still short $50 and I need to pay them, and it's come and do it again.
And I remember you used to buy people, and they'd come to you, they'd get prescriptions for, they'd be sick, they couldn't buy their medicines. You used to go buy their prescriptions for them. You can't even do that anymore.
Right, right. But we are still, I'm still doing first aid and I'm still doing things, but we don't do as much as we could if we had the
support. Finances, right?
You know, it's like socks. Everybody wants socks. We used to have bags of socks around all the time. You know, now it's just.
We got to dig for them.
You got to dig for them and look if you have them. But we are still there helping, you know, and we've been consistent. But anyway, going back to this, June, we start, and so pray about it, folks. And it has to be separate than any other donation that you give us, because don't take away from, or don't designate a regular donation that you make and say, we'll use it for the, you know, picnic or whatever. Because if we do that, then, you know, it takes away from everything else.
Right.
So it has to be a different donation. I'm guessing right now, I can't tell you how much money. Next week we'll talk about it, and we'll tell them what kind of a goal we're going to set for the money to do it. And that'll change as we go along. But yeah, I want to have a real big deal, and for them, you know, for the poor. And I figured 20th would be a good time to do it, you know. Amen.
And so we've got people that's been coming ever since we opened the doors. We still, there's 10 or 15 people I can think of that, yeah.
Yeah, it's about like little Joe when he fell out the other day and the ambulance came and got him to check him out, but although he's coming back. You know, they say, well, I said, well, yeah, I've known him 19 years. He's been doing the same thing for 19 years. And he said, well, do you know this and this and this about him? I said, I don't know all that about him. I've known him for 19 years and everything, but there isn't much else that I know other than the fact that
he comes here.
He comes here. He's an alcoholic. He's a drunk. And I can tell you about how many incidents he's caused and all those kinds of things. But, you know.
While he's at our place, we don't know about all the other days of him being on. Yeah.
Right, right. But anyway, so we have been helping for a very, very long time. And, you know, now, and don't get me wrong, we do know a lot about a lot of the people. It's just some of them, you know, don't know anything.
Some of them are just in that, they're just, that's their life. They will never, they'll be that way for the rest of their life, most generally, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like little Joe, for example. Yeah.
Yeah. And like little Joe, off and on, he's been sober. Off and on, he's had places to live. Off and on, he's in the street, but it's always a path back. And the biggest thing that you can do for a person is you got to get them when they first hit, because once they realize that they can survive outside and find the places to eat and so on and so forth, it's so much easier for them to let an apartment go because, you know,
right.
They know
they'd
they
rather
survive.
Have the money to, yeah.
What stops people is when they first get out in the street and there's a terror, and it should be a terror to them, you know, and they're scared, you know, because you know what I'm saying. And
right.
So you play by using that terror, you can get them to come out. But once they assimilate, it's harder to change.
Well, and we have a few of them that have been on the street, off the street, on the street, off the street. It's just a life cycle. They'll get a place. They'll keep it a few months. They'll go back homeless again. They'll stay on the street a few months.
Right.
They'll get a place. It's just a cycle. And there's been a few of them. I can name off a few, but I won't.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay. We're going to close out now. But all donations, folks, matter, no matter what size. Everything helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Your heart. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radio, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air. And you want to tell them goodbye?
Yeah.
Just tell them goodbye.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Just pray about helping us and do be led by the Father.
Okay. Well, folks, and also I want to say out there to you folks out there, no matter what, I know there's a lot of controversy over the dates of Passover and some of the other calendar dates. No matter what date you are, I bless you and your efforts. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.